Good morning, Dr. Ritchie.
Good morning, Kathy.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I am doing just great, thank you. And I'm very curious about our topic today with dealing with prostate cancer. And the reason that I'm so curious is because our next-door neighbor, who is a fairly young man, was diagnosed and has had to have some pretty well, he's had surgery, and then I don't know. He just doesn't look real great to me. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on what should be done in, you know, first of all, preventing prostate cancer and then going into the treatment options.
Well, prevention of prostate cancer is a very extensive topic, and we don't have answers on how to prevent prostate cancer. I will tell you that lower fat diets are better for men, exercise is better, vitamin D, but these are not the whole answer. It's a very common cancer. 1 in 7 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. If they have a family history like your neighbor, if they have brothers or sons, they have an even higher likelihood of developing prostate cancer. If they're African American, they have a higher incidence of prostate cancer, about 1 in 5. And it's very similar in statistics to breast cancer in women. It's the number one cause of new cancers in men compared to breast cancer in women. And it's the second leading cause of death in men, just like breast cancer is in women.
Okay, and as far as treatment goes, what are, I mean, I'm assuming depending on how far along the stages are, there's different types of treatment for each stage.
Correct. So first the patient has to be screened and have a diagnosis. So if somebody has an elevated PSA, if the urologist or a primary care doctor feels something in the prostate on the rectal examination, then they end up with a biopsy of the prostate that's done in the office, and the biopsies are sent to the pathologist. The pathologist then can tell whether there's prostate cancer or not. And if there is prostate cancer, they put what's called a Gleason grade on the prostate. That grade would range from 5 to 10. The higher the number, the more aggressive the tumor. So somebody with an 8, 9, or 10 definitely needs to be treated. The debate comes with a patient who has a Gleason 5, 6, or 7. Do they need to be treated or not? Because some of these tumors are slow-growing and may never impact on the survival of a patient. Others obviously are more aggressive, and so the task is to help decide which of these are slow growing and which need to be treated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then so if when it's first diagnosed, that number that's given, does that number change ever? You know,
that's
what I mean?
Very...
Like in 6 months.
That's a very good question. We don't think it changes. In other words, what it is what it's going to be, but the problem is sampling of the prostate. So even though you take these biopsies, you're sampling a very tiny bit of a large golf ball or a small orange-sized gland, and you can miss more aggressive disease. And this is where a growing number of tools are available that give us more information about what's happening in the rest of the prostate to help decide, is it safe to follow this patient or should they definitely be treated?
Okay. And I'm assuming, too, that part of the side that there are side effects to some of the treatments that would be available.
Absolutely. So the three standard treatments are called active surveillance, either radiation therapy or surgery. Active surveillance means we will follow the PSAs, we'll do periodic biopsies to be certain we haven't missed something more aggressive, but if it's the right candidate, they may not need to be treated. If it's more aggressive, then surgery to remove the prostate entirely or radiation would be used. Unfortunately, each of these types of treatments have side effects having to do with continence and potency and bowel problems, so it's not an easy decision as to whether to treat somebody or not.
Sure, and, you know, because you're looking at quality of life, too, so I'm assuming, again, that age would play a factor in it as well.
Absolutely. So somebody who's a little older or who's had a heart attack or a stroke, may not need to be treated at all because this tumor is slow growing. Somebody who's younger or healthier with a good longevity may definitely need to be treated because otherwise this disease would progress and shorten their longevity.
And if people, now men usually go in once a year or should be going once a year for a yearly checkup, and then that checkup is performed. And is there more that they can do to help? I mean, is that the basic way of discovering prostate cancer?
That's the best way to discover it because there are no specific symptoms of prostate cancer. So unless you get the blood test and have a rectal examination, you're not going to know it's there until it's too late. So patients need to tell their physician that they want to get a PSA because there is debate about whether that should be done or not.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? When you know that that's, you know, the way to tell, and then there's debate about whether it should be done. Does not make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either, but I will tell you that the debate is because many men are diagnosed with prostate cancer that may not interfere with their lifespan. So you have what's called overdiagnosis and, unfortunately, sometimes overtreatment. So this is why being smart and deciding whether you need treatment is better than saying, don't worry about it, don't get the blood test.
Right. Is there a website or someplace that people can go for our listeners to get more information?
There are several excellent websites that I would recommend, Kathy. One is the American Cancer Society. One is the American Urological Association. Our company, Metamark Genetics, has an excellent patient information portion of the website. That's metamarkgenetics.com. I would encourage patients, number one, to get screened with their PSA and their rectal examination, and number two, to research and get more information about this disease.
Thank you, Dr. Ritchie, for talking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kathy.